standing prayer offering tonight. Just remain standing. Let's everybody give. Amen. What an opportunity to give. And if you didn't get your offering in Sunday, you need to do that tonight. You need to do that tonight. Hope that you will. God will bless you for it. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done for us. Pray now, Holy Ghost, that you'd come down and bless tonight. God, do what ought to be done. Lord, give us something real, something special, something lasting. Lord, do something for us tonight that we won't just forget when we walk out of here. Lord, let it stick with us, God, and bless this offering and meet the need of our church. And thank you for what you've been doing, what you are doing, what you're going to do. Run the devil out of here, Lord. I pray, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over this place tonight. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everybody give. Sing one? No, they just blow it in here tonight. I'm going to sing a song for us. Come on up here, ladies. Amen. Well, we're going to have a good lesson here tonight in just a minute. And I want you to listen to this and let this sink in. I'm going to talk about a sin that everybody in here commits on a regular basis. Every one of you, not me, all of you. No, the truth is, all of us commit this sin. You know, we are awful bad to categorize sin. There's certain sins that, boy, if you commit, you're a terrible, awful, low-down, sorry, good-for-nothing dog. But there's other sins that we joke about in church and just laugh about like it's nothing. And God don't look at it like that. So you be thinking. You be thinking.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Say amen right there, folks. Hallelujah, that's good. Amen. That was worth coming to church to hear tonight. What a blessing that was. Amen. I'm glad he took us just like we was. He'll take you the way you are and make you what you ought to be. That's the Lord. He'll take you just as you are and make you just what you ought to be. What a blessing that is. We ought to be shouting, rejoicing, we're saved tonight. Amen. Well, I've been hearing about all kinds, that's not what I'm going to talk about, but I've been hearing about all kinds of new diseases and stuff that I didn't know was a disease. Now if you don't pay attention in school, you got a disease. They had ways of making you pay attention when I went. But anyway, after you let them get 14 or 15, it's about too late now. I heard about this. You hear that girl said on that CD, I'm going to give it to some of you ladies real good. This girl said she was dyslexic. And she really believed that. I don't know about that. Looks at everything backwards. Said she wrote a book. You have to read her book backwards to get any sense out of it. She said she was so dyslexic, she tried to commit suicide and threw herself behind the bus. But anyway, that's bad. But anyway, let's take our Bibles tonight and look at Romans chapter 1, and then I'm going to look at a verse in Luke chapter 14. And we're going to talk about something tonight that every person in here is guilty of. I'm telling you, not a person in here tonight is not and has not been guilty of this sin. And Romans chapter 1, Luke chapter 14. It's a bunch of times in the Bible, and we're going to look at it this evening. Don't miss Sunday morning now. It's going to be good. So I've done planning some good stuff for Sunday, so don't forget that. Romans chapter 1, Luke chapter 14. We'll get Luke 14 first. Luke chapter 14. And let's look, if we will, at verse number 16. Then he said unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they with all, every one of them, every church member, with one consent, began to make excuse. It said they made an excuse. It did not say any of them had an excuse. It said they made one. Yeah. Now listen, look at Romans chapter 1. We are experts at making excuses about stuff we don't want to do. You know, if it's something we want to do, you watch that old flesh finagle around and figure out a way to do it. But if it's something you don't want to do, you'll make an excuse for it. And that's a sin. Look at Romans chapter number 1 and verse 20. For the invisible things of him, this time the lost people, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Without excuse. Now, I'm going to talk about this tonight. Usually it's a preaching sermon, but I'm going to do it different tonight than I've ever done it before. So we're going to talk about how you and me, we make excuses to keep from doing what we know we ought to do. And I mean, you can bring this right on down to brushing your teeth or picking up your dirty socks off the floor or anything, eating wrong, not exercising, not praying, not reading your Bible. What the flesh don't want to do, we'll think up an excuse to keep from doing it. We're all like that. Now there's people sitting in here, y'all sitting in here tonight, if you heard about one of our church members getting drunk, you'd think, I can't believe that. That's sorry good. If you heard about somebody in here committing adultery, you'd say, how awful. They ought to be kicked out of church. And I'm not belittling those are terrible things. But you make every excuse in the world to keep from doing what you're supposed to for God, and you think that's all right. And I'm telling you, it's not all right. It's not all right. God's going to require some of us one of these days. And you know that Bible said, to whom much is given, much will be required. He give you a family. He's given you a car. He's given you a church to go to. He's given you a King James Bible. He's given you a good place to live. He's given you a voice. He's given you a mind. And He's going to require something of us one of these days. To whom much is given, much will be required. But if I had to go to hell, and I don't want to go to hell from nowhere, but if I had to go to hell from anywhere, it wouldn't be the United States. I'd be able to go from some foreign country where I'd never maybe heard the name of Jesus but once if I had to. I sure wouldn't want to go from the Bible Belt where there's preachers and churches on every corner. And I mean, everywhere you hear it, see the gospel, and you turn on TV, turn on radio, you ain't got no excuse. No excuse. Somebody said, most people who are failures, losers we call them, are experts at making excuses. I mean, your kids got excuses why they couldn't get their homework done. The daddy's got excuses why he couldn't get the yard work done. The mama's got excuses how Christ she didn't get the housework done. We got excuse. We all started out reading our Bible the 1st of January. You got an excuse why you quit or why I lost my place. I lost it. We always make some kind of excuse. I'm busy. I'm tired. I'm hurt. I'm cold. My feelings are hurt. Well then, you know what? We are experts at making excuses. I tell you what I do. I tell you what I do all the time. I go around taking people's excuses from them. I mean, Crystal told me one time, I come on him crutches one time, she said, "Brother Danny, I can't stand the way you take away all our excuses." And what she said, right, I take away all your excuses. The Lord uses me to take away all your excuses. A lady told me, she said, "Well, it's just hard for me to get my kids to church on Wednesday night because it's school." Listen. I had 3 in school by myself, and we got there every Wednesday night. Don't you just hate me? Because the Lord uses me to take away all your excuses. I don't care what they are, I got an answer for them. And that's my job. Don't hate me. I don't hate me because the Lord called me to do that. The Lord called me to knock them out from under you. Every time you give one, I knock it out. Every time you give one, I knock it out. And you say, "What about you?" I knock my own out. You ought to hear how hard I am on myself. I ain't got no excuse. I ain't got no excuse to sin. I ain't got no excuse to complain. I ain't got no excuse. You can make one, but you don't have one. Say amen right there. That's right. Now, this ain't going to be easy for some of y'all to swallow, but somebody said this: an excuse fools no one but the person who makes it. An excuse fools no one but the person who makes it. Like me trying to get you to go on bus route, and you say, "Well, I work all week. Saturday's my only day." The only person you're fooling with that junk is you. Mike Slaughter works all week. Somebody said one time on the bus, come in. I don't even know who it was, so I ain't talking about none of y'all. They come in one Sunday, and they come in, and their bus was real low. And I think Vicky had 40-something, and they had 15. And they said, "Brother Danny, it's a rainy day. All my kids are in bed." I said, "It's raining in Lenore, too." Amen. That's rough to swallow. That's rough. That's mean. That's a mean thing to say to somebody. But you see, what I'm trying to get you to see is, they said, "It's raining in Lenore, too." The reason your bus is low is because you don't work it. One of us worked told me, they said, "All my kids moved away." I said, "Same way in pastoring a church. People move away in the church. If there ain't new people coming in here, you know whose fault it is? It's mine for not having a hot meal served here on Sunday. It all falls on the preacher's shoulder. It's my fault. It's my fault. If there ain't hot food sitting here at Shining Light Baptist Church every Sunday morning, you serve a good enough meal, brother, people come and eat it." Amen. People come to eat it. And we had nearly 350 in here Sunday morning, and people come to eat. Food's good. They will. And we cannot just say, "Well, it's the last days, and well, it's, you know, it's this, and well, this is Burke County, and ain't never been a revival in Burke County that anybody knows of, unless it's before we was all born. They ain't never been." You can make an excuse, you don't have an excuse. Every sin you can commit, the devil's ready to give you an excuse for it. The devil's ready. The man who really wants to do something will find a way to do it. And the other man will find an excuse to keep from doing it. I'm going to say that again. Y'all listen to me. The man who really wants to do something will find a way to do it. The man who don't want to do it will find an excuse to keep from doing it. Now, there's sometimes you absolutely can't. One of our members told me one time, she called and she said, "Brother Danny, it's hard for me to get to church. I work till 6:30. I run." And she said, "How do you feel about that?" And I say this. I say to my girls, I tell all of them, I tell everybody, if you can, you should. If you can't, you can't. If you can't, you can't. But if you can, you should. Am I right? If you can, you should. If you can't, you can't. See, if that man broke his neck and been in the hospital, God wouldn't have said he made an excuse. It would have said he couldn't come. But the Bible said they made an excuse. Man told me one time, he said, "I can't afford to pay my tithes." You know what that is? That's an excuse. That's an excuse. I'm going to tell you something. God won't tell you to do something that you can't do. God won't tell you to do something that you can't do. It might be that you need to learn how to trust Him. It might be that you need to change your spending habits. It might be that you need to rearrange the way you're spending your money. I've been accused of being tight. I would prefer the word smart. I don't blow every dime I get. And I know some people, buddy, if they got a piece of money, it burns a hole in their pocket. You know anybody like that? And when soon as they get some, they're gone everywhere to spend that money, and it's spent in 2 or 3 days. I don't do that, brother. I don't do that. You know why? Because I know what it's like to be broke. And it's rough. I hate being broke. How many of you ever been broke? You ever been broke? That's awful. That's an awful feeling. I mean, I've had to borrow money to go preach. I've had to borrow money to put gas in my van to go where I'm supposed to preach. I've had to go. I went days one time. A grown man with family. I remember having to load up a bunch of stuff and go to the flea market in Asheville. I was too ashamed to come to Jamestown. There's so many people knew me. And I took a bunch of stuff to Asheville just to pay my bills and sell them. And that's an awful feeling. That's an awful feeling. So I made up my mind, I ain't going to waste my money. And you know what I done? When I get my check cashed, I got my check cashed yesterday at the bank. First thing I do is I pull my tithes out. I don't say, "Well, I owe this." I'd pay, I hate to tell y'all this, but I was telling Jason a while ago, they was talking about buying a house. And I said, "You know, the value of my house went down. Did y'all's value of your house go down? What's up with that, man?" Well, the land went up, my house went down. And after my mom died, I've got her land and have to pay for it. I got 27 acres of land. My taxes are $1,700. And ain't nothing to do with it. It's straight up and down. It'd cost $1 million to have it graded. If I had a son-in-law, it was worth shooting. I'm just kidding. But, you know, it would cost more than it's worth to have it graded. It's just straight up and down. What can you do with land that just goes straight up and straight down and straight up and straight down? I had to pay $1,700 taxes. Like, I took revival money. I finagled around. I had 2 months to get ready for it. Man, you don't know how I resented that. I walked in there saying, "Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do this? God, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. I don't even ever look at that. It's a bunch of woods." And the value of a house went down. The value of land went up. How did I get off on all that? I was talking about, my tithe. I took my tithes out. Taxes or no taxes, brother, God's going to get His right here in this church. If my taxes don't get paid, if I'm late on them, God's going to get His first in this church. You can count on that. I ain't going to say, "Well, I've got taxes due. I can't pay my tithes this week." I'd be scared to death to take God's money and pay my bills with it. Man, I'd be scared to do that. If I'm going to steal from somebody, it'd be one of my girls or you. I ain't going to steal from God. I mean, the Lord might get me, but He wouldn't get me as bad as He would steal from Him. I ain't going to steal from nobody. But if you have to steal, don't steal from the Lord. Steal from your employer. You need a raise anyway. I'm just kidding. But don't steal from God, brother. Don't steal from God. If you got to steal, don't steal God's money. You'll never get out of the hole like that. If you want God to bless you, I mean, them TV preachers, I know they overdo it and they run it in the ground, but that's biblical. That's biblical. You want God to bless you, you give and you honor the Lord And you watch. I was joking about Todd a minute ago. The truth is, Todd does good. Todd gives good. He gives our bus kids every year. He bought our last bus. He really does good. There's a lot of people that make good money that don't even pay their tithes. And most of them don't. It's usually the richer they are, the less they give, percentage-wise. And the poorer people in the church pay their tithes and give extra. So when I got my check cashed yesterday, I took out my tithes and I gave a good offering on top of that and I stuck it in my wallet. And Sunday morning, when them offering plates come, it's going right in there. Now, I could make an excuse. Well, I got to go to Virginia tomorrow, and my 4Runners, the tires are slick as glass. You go out there, they're slick as that right there on the back. That don't matter if on the back. And I could say I've got a roof that's leaking. Every time it rains real hard, I got I'm getting water in my house. I could say that I've got a board around my house that's rotten on the gutter that's going to have to be tore off. I could say a lot of things. But you know what I'm going to say? God's been good to me. That stuff can wait a little while. I'm putting my tithes in, and you watch the Lord take care of it. Watch it. It's an excuse. It's an excuse. You know what a man told me one time? He said, Danny, let me ask you about this giving business. And I didn't mean to talk about this long. He said, let me ask you about this giving. He said, now, do you give 10%, right? And I said, that's right. He said, now, does that mean that when I get paid that I'm supposed to pay all my bills and give 10% of what's left? I said, no, that ain't what it means. Do you know if we took our and paid everything and give 10% what's left, do you know how much our offering would be? It wouldn't be $15 a week. There ain't none left, right? I mean, for most people, there ain't none left. After you pay everything, there ain't very little. Lord have mercy. But the Lord said you give the first fruits of your increase. And you say, well, I just can't do that. You do it and you watch what happens. Do it 10 years and then come back and tell me if you're starving to death. You won't be. You'll be way better off than you are now. So it's just an excuse. People say, I said, do you read your Bible? And they said, no, it's just hard for me to understand. You know what that is? That's an excuse. God did not say read the Bible if you can understand it. He did not say don't read it if you can't understand it. God told me, he said, I said, you been reading the Bible? He said, no, I can't understand it. I said, well, you going to wait till you understand it and then read it? Boy, you a genius. Of course you can't understand it. Nobody understands all the Bible. Ain't nobody understands everything in the Bible. If you meet somebody that says they can understand everything in the Bible, you better run away from them just as fast as you can go. Ain't nobody understands it all. We just get little bits and pieces as God gives us. I said, I know people, they said he's a walking Bible. He might can quote it all, but he don't understand it all. Nobody does. Jack Danny, if he don't know, he don't understand the whole Bible. I remember one time, they was talking about some preacher quoting Scripture all the time, and preachers ought to quote Scripture. I quote Scripture. But some preachers are noted for just doing nothing but quote Scripture. And that, I'm not saying they're wrong. Between them and God, that's what God calls them to do. Well, one guy, we was talking, old Deborah Parker up at New Manor. Deborah had this real dry sense of humor. And we was going to hear some preacher sometime. They said, man, all he does is quote Scripture. You got to go hear this guy. All he does is quote Scripture. And Deborah just looked around and said, well, I can read the Bible. That's true. Preacher's got to do more than just quote Scripture. He's supposed to make you understand the sense of it and the context of it and put that thought in. A preacher's job is to take this Scripture, let it set on fire in his heart, and then say it where it sets on fire in your heart. That ain't easy, brother. That ain't easy. Man, that's try it sometime if you think it's easy. It's got to be the Lord that does that. The Lord has to do it. I can't do it. The Lord has to do it. But anyway, you say, well, I just can't understand the Bible, preacher. Well, you read it through 3 times and quit using an excuse, and you watch God start showing you some stuff. He'll show you stuff. He'll show you stuff if you'll read the Bible. Make yourself read it. You say, I'm not a good reader. Don't matter. Read it anyway. You say, I can't pronounce all the words. I don't know anybody that can. I hear preachers preach, and they pronounce different words in the Bible different ways. I don't know which way is the right way. I don't think they do either. Jason's a preacher, Derek's a preacher. You've heard Philemon, you've heard Philemon. Which way's right? I guess Philemon's what the educated guys say. I have no idea. I don't know what difference it makes. You're talking about the same feller, old Philemon. But you know, that ain't no excuse not to read it, people. You get the idea. He's a guy, and his name is Philemon. I mean, my goodness. I mean, people say, well, all those these and thou. It don't take a genius. You can be a third grader and say, I say unto thee, I say thou shalt not. Now, who in the world don't know what that means? Thou shalt not. You can go to church 3 weeks and figure out thee and thou. It's not a hard thing to do. You know what it is? It's an excuse. It's an excuse. Here's what you say. I'm so tired, preacher. When I sit down and start reading, I just go to sleep. Well, do it when you wake up. Do it before you get sleepy. Turn the news off. You don't have to know the news. If something terrible happens, we'll let you know. I mean, we're going to war with Syria or whatever. I don't know if we did or not. I have my TV. I don't turn my TV on Wednesdays usually, but did we go to war? We're going to war Friday. I don't understand these wars nowadays. They tell you when they're going to do it, and they say we're going to strike this place and that place. What kind? We're putting it on the worldwide news where we're going to hit and what buildings we're going to blow up. That's like saying to the enemy, you better get all your stuff out of there because we're going to blow this building up, but we got to look good to the world. And I don't know about all that stuff, man. But I don't know. But anyway, we're going to war Friday. You know what good that does you to know that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That don't help you one bit. They said, the man who really wants to do something will find a way. And the other man finds an excuse. Man ain't good to his wife, he'll make an excuse. Well, she's this. She's hateful. She's a smart aleck. She's lazy. She may be all that. But that ain't no excuse not to be good to her. You ain't much and the Lord's good to you. I ain't much and the Lord's good to us. And a man loves his wife like Christ loved the church. The Lord don't just love the church when it's perfect and when it does everything. The Lord loves the church when it's not perfect. And a wife says, my husband's this, my husband's that, my husband's the other, my husband's the other. One lady told me this. She said, well, I'm supposed to submit to him. I ain't going to submit to him until he starts doing what he's supposed to. That's an excuse is what that is. That's just an excuse. All that is. You see, I was talking about this sin we're all guilty of. We're all guilty of making excuses of stuff we don't want to do and blaming this or that or something else. This is awful. This is awful. An excuse fools nobody but the one that makes it. There are always excuses if you're weak enough to use them. I mean, it takes a real man to stand up and say, I ain't got no excuse. I laid out, preacher. I ain't read my Bible. It's nobody's fault but mine. It takes a man to say that. I'm going to say that again. There's always excuses if you're weak enough to use them. Somebody else said this. Never give an excuse that you wouldn't accept from somebody else. Some people, they give you a bunch of bull, expect you to swallow it. But then when their employee comes in and gives it to them, they fuss at them. Never give an excuse that you wouldn't be willing to accept from somebody else. Somebody said, the reason I'm not faithful is I'm tired. I work all week. Well, God never said nothing about that. He'll say, come to me and I'll give you rest. You want to rest? Come to church on Sunday. You ever heard anybody say that? Sunday's my only day to rest. God said, come to me and I'll give you rest. You'll rest more, two good services in the house of God, than you will be laying out at home on the couch all day watching football. Amen? I mean, you're out there fishing. You'll get more rest sitting there. You know, sometimes we come to church and have a good service, it's just like, good night, it's just like breathing fresh air in. It rejuvenates you physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, every other way. When we come to church and have a good service, man, you leave here feeling like you just had a B12 shot or something, you just got a good shot in the arm for the glory of God. You leave happy and you leave rejoicing. Don't just make up an excuse. I'm not going to go much longer. I'm going to stop pretty quick. Make up your mind. You're not going to do it. Make up your mind. Well, a man told me one time, they said, so he's trying to get this guy to come to church. He said, I ain't coming to church. There's too many hypocrites down there. And the fellow said, well, come on, one more ain't going to hurt us. That's right. They are hypocrites in church. There's hypocrites in every church. Jesus had 12. One of them was a devil. There's hypocrites in every church. In every church, there's people that ain't what they're supposed to be. In every church, there's somebody who's a fake. In every church, there's flaws in the men. Every church, you are not going to find. One man told me, this guy told me one time, he said, well, I don't see how you have such a big church and keep the sin out of that. I said, hey, I ain't got nothing to do with it, buddy. He said, I like to keep my church small so I can keep it pure. Lord have mercy. Some of the meanest devils I've ever met in my life's in them little churches where there's about 30 people and they've been there for 100 years. Mean as snakes. You know, keeping it small don't keep it pure. No, sir. No, sir. I know I'm not making excuses for sin. There ain't no excuse for sin. But you can't have this many people together and not have sin get in there. It's impossible. If you wait till everybody in the church is perfect before you come, you know when you're going to come? Never. If you wait till you find a perfect church before you go, you know where you're going to go? Never. There ain't no perfect church. There ain't no perfect choir. There ain't no perfect preacher. You say, well, Brother Danny, I disagree with the stuff you do or you don't do. We're even. Amen? You say, well, Brother Danny, I disagree with something. Well, I disagree with something you do too. So what? You say, well, you're a preacher. You're a Christian. There ain't no different. I'm going to tell you, that's just an excuse. That's just an excuse. Look, the church ain't perfect. I'm glad, really, that y'all ain't perfect because I'd feel terrible. Me a sinner and y'all perfect. As Wendell said one time, he said, well, I ain't found the right church yet. And they said, if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it because you'd ruin it. And that's the truth. That's the truth. You would. You'd be the only sinner in there. A little leaven up the whole lump. But man said, I'd rather go to church with a hypocrite than go to hell with them. If a hypocrite's standing between you and God, he's closer to God than you are. I know a lot of hypocrites, but I ain't going to let that stop me from going to church. The preacher up there, where I'm going this weekend, I'm going tomorrow and driving to Virginia. And the preacher told me the other day, he said, Brother Danny, he said, I hate to tell you this. He said, we messed around here and scheduled this on a bad weekend. And he said, we're going to have a lot of folks gone. It's Labor Day weekend. I said, I understand that. I said, I understand. He said, we might have a smaller crowd. I said, don't worry about it. We'll take what we've got and we'll have a good revival and we'll pray and we'll try to get lost people in there. Amen? And it'll be their loss. If they're not there, it'll be their loss. But anyway, there is no excuse, folks. There is no excuse. We don't have no excuse not to serve God. We don't have no excuse not to live right. You say, well, my husband won't live right. That ain't no excuse for you not to live right. You say, well, my wife won't live right. That ain't no excuse for you not to live right. We have no excuse. They say in the army, there's only three answers you can give. You guys been in the army, Navy, Marines, they said there's only three answers when they ask you a question. Yes, sir. No, sir. No excuse, sir. One of them three. Yes, sir. No, sir. No excuse, sir. We stand before God, it's going to be yes, sir. No, sir. No excuse, sir. When God says, why didn't you go knock on somebody's door and be a soul winner and be a witness? It's no, sir. Yes, sir. No excuse, sir. When God says, why didn't you go to church regular? Yes, sir. No, sir. No excuse, sir. I'm warning you now. We better get off this stuff. Quit using stuff for an excuse. All right? Let's bow our head for prayer. Miss Desi's going to come and play softly tonight. I want us to ask God. I will. I will if you will. I will if you won't. I'm going to ask the Lord to help me